Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
WTIC, and a good evening to you. We are having a delightful time here, as we are wont to do. And we will take more phone calls and do more rant line calls coming up. But right now, joining us is Michael Petrilli. Michael is the president of, my little cheat sheet just went away. Fordham Institute. But it's the other thing I'm trying to remember what you do. Oh, the Hoover Institute. Is that right, Michael?
That's right. Hoover Institution. Great to be with you.
I'm sorry to be so clumsy on the introduction. I had it all neatly presented in front of me, and the screen disappeared. But I'm really intrigued by the topic that we're going to discuss, because it's been in the news, this idea, and income depends on where you live, not just educational attainment. Talk to us about this.
Yeah, well, look, I work in K-12 education, and like a lot of my colleagues, our think tank's been obsessed with this question of getting more kids into college for a long time. The ed reform movement has been largely about that, and that's because of these studies that have come out over the years showing that, of course, you make more money with a college degree than if you only have a high school diploma, and especially for kids growing up in poverty, getting that college degree seems to be one of the only springboards to get you into the middle class. But we've been learning more in recent years that, not surprisingly, those averages hide a lot of variation. Matters, for example, where you go to college, and it matters what you major in. You know, if you major in engineering, you're going to make more money than if you major in philosophy. But we were curious.
Well, I think we've got a handle on that, but maybe we don't have a handle so much on the which college you go to part. Can you explain that one?
Well, sure. I mean, look, you go to Harvard, even though it can be extremely expensive, those graduates tend to make a fortune when they get out into the workforce. And so it's still worth it. Whereas there's some, second or third tier private colleges that are expensive but don't necessarily get that same payoff, as is the case with some of the not so great public colleges. So, there's been a big push in recent years to try to get more data on what people are making depending on their alma mater, and that's helpful, and that now gives young people some good information. But what nobody's talked about is this question of geography. And geography mm-hmm. matters a lot. Turns out we had the study by John Winters at Iowa State where he dug into census data and was able to find that, indeed, there's a huge amount of variation in earnings and in the college earnings premium depending on geography. So in big cities like New York City, certainly, but also D.C. and Boston, San Francisco, the big coastal cities, you do, in fact, make way more money with a college degree than just a high school diploma, in many cases twice as much. But in the rest of America, it doesn't look the same way. The differences are not as big. You still make more with that college degree, but in some places like out west where there's a lot of mining or oil and gas, it might only be a 20% advantage. And when you start to factor in the cost of college and not working while you're in school, the calculus looks a lot different. And writ large, what we find is that the larger cities have the bigger premiums. The smaller metro areas, and certainly rural America, has much lower premiums. And so when we talk to young people, not only should we ask them, what do you want to do when you grow up? We should also ask them, where do you want to live? And if you want to live in the New York City metro area, probably getting that four-year degree makes sense because it's so hard to make a decent living there without it. But, if there's a lot of places in America where you might come to a different decision.
Well, I'm curious if the better education, if something happens from going to college that makes you a better worker, or if there's just bias towards people who have certain diplomas, so that if we could eliminate the bias, then people wouldn't have to go to college. Know the answer to that question?
It's a great question. I don't think we know for sure. I think we do know that a lot of this is just about selection. You know, those people that are making a ton of money because they graduated from Harvard, it's not because of something special that happened during those 4 years at Harvard. You know, they were brilliant going into Harvard, and they're brilliant on the other end. They may have made some contacts there that have been helpful, but it's a shorthand. It's you know, employers get lazy, and they say, well, you know, instead of really figuring out if somebody's got the skills to do the job, I'm just going to screen out a whole bunch of people based on whether or not they have a certain credential.
Just as they also screen people out, if you're going to try to figure out how to minimize the overwhelming number of applicants you might get for a job, why not just say you have to have a college degree or higher level diploma? So that, again, you're biasing the numbers that you're examining, Michael, but not for any good reason.
No, that's absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. And so, you know, and so there's ways to fix this on a couple different ends. One is to get employers to stop doing that and to start looking at skills instead. And in fact, the Trump administration came out with a proposal a few weeks ago to try to push in that direction. You know, and especially now that more and more employers are having their applicants go through a whole battery of assessments of various kinds. So sometimes their reading skills, their writing skills, their mathematics. Sometimes it's about their teamwork abilities. You know, they can start to figure out if somebody's got the skills. So get away from the degree. The other way we got to fix it is at the high school level. You know, our high schools are set up today as if 100% of the kids were going to go to four-year colleges and major in English literature. You know, we send almost nobody in high school into a real technical training pathway or into apprenticeships or into a place where you can start to learn a trade. That is very different than most other advanced nations where you might have 30, 40, 50, 60% of young people going that more technical path, high-quality paths. They're usually high-tech paths, but paths that do not expect kids to go through these four-year degree programs. And we've got to get that balance much better in our country, too, because, look, there's a lot of young people bored to death in high school who would love to be doing an apprenticeship or learning a trade, and we just don't give them the opportunity.
So this, you've just gotten to the part that interests me the most. We're talking to Michael Petrilli. He's a smart guy who's thinking a lot, you can tell, and a passionate guy. I love your passion. President of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute and also a research fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution. The part that interests me most is this whole idea that we've shaped this structure that says both a physical structure and a belief system, a narrative that says if you're going to be a successful adult, you have to go to college. And we funnel all kinds of government money into colleges. We've, with disastrous results, created big government programs to incentivize people to absorb huge amounts of debt in order to go to college. And we've propagandized for a couple of generations now that college is the only way to have a future that is substantial. And if we could diffuse all this energy that has led us to believe the things that we believe, we could have kids doing a lot of different things that might bring all kinds of different, very exciting results.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, right now, and it's been this way for a while, when you look at high school graduates, it's about a third of our graduating seniors from high school are ready for college in terms of their reading and writing and math skills, a third. And yet two-thirds of them go to college right away. And almost 100% of our young people will give it a shot at some point in their early lives, take a couple of college courses. Well, are we surprised that half of those kids will leave college with nothing? They'll drop out of college? Again, you know, a third of them weren't ready in the first place, two-thirds of them went. Mm-hmm. So those half drop out. This is not working. And you're right that it's part of this larger cultural narrative that we're sending, that somehow the only way to get status in our society is to get a college degree. That's nuts. The way to get status is by getting skills and getting a good job, putting food on the table, being a contributing member of the community, being a good citizen. You know, we've got to get back to respecting all of that. And guess what? Young people who are able to go and get those skills, get a trade, do an apprenticeship, go out and get technical training, a lot of them can go out and make good money, sometimes great money. And especially if they live in a place that has a low cost of living, they can do quite well for themselves and for their families. And yet that's not the message we're sending people today.
Michael Petrilli, great to talk with you once again. Thank you, sir.
Great to be with you.
All righty. Look forward to next time. Michael Petrilli, as we said, Fordham Institute. He's the president of the Fordham Institute, and he is a research fellow at Stanford's Hoover Institution. Fascinating guy to talk to.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.